Tonight we're going to start reading in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. And I want to stress to you tonight as I read this, I want you to think about what the early church was doing in order to discern God's will for them and for those they were going to send out and what it means for us today. So Acts 13, starting in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when he had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymaeus the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and went about seeking to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Father, open our eyes tonight. Help us to learn the lesson that needs to be learned by each and every one of us. And we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, we're looking tonight at what's going on at this particular time in the church, and this text, our story of the church at Antioch, the story, we find some precious thoughts and some important lessons of what God would have of us and what God would like to do in us and then through us. The great lesson of these verses which we read is simply this: the Holy Spirit is the director of the work of God. He has plans for the church. He has plans for us as individuals in his church, and his plans are going to come to pass. And so what we want to learn tonight is, how do we get into the center of God's will for our lives, for our churches, for our families, and as Jeremy mentioned tonight, for our nation? How do we do that? So there's several precious thoughts in this section of Scripture that I really want to bring out to you tonight to give you pause to think, should I be doing some of the same things that this early church did? First of all, Christ's church at Antioch had already been established by God, and God had certain plans and intentions, not just for the church at Antioch, but for every servant of the church of Antioch. He had plans in regard to Asia, which is, this is where the church of Antioch is, in Asia Minor. He had plans for Europe. The Lord had conceived the plans. They were already in his heart and on his mind. And what he wants is his people to seek out his will instead of their own will. Our great command of the Holy Spirit organizes and campaigns. Every campaign he's going to do in all the history of the church has already been planned by him. What he wants us to do through prayer and fasting is to get on board with his plan. God in heaven will have regard for his plan, not our plans. The plans of man are often futile. We miss the mark. And what God wants us to do is to seek out his will. Seeking out his will, there is a way to do this so that you can be assured that you're right in the flow of what God wants to do. In Jeremiah 33, verse 2, the Lord tells us how to do this. Thus saith the Lord, the maker of thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Folks, it's so important for us to seek God in prayer what his plan is, not only for our own lives, but what his plan is for this church or any other church we attend. Lord, what's your plan? Not my plan, not my way. What's your plan for my family? What's your plan for the rest of the days of my life? Now, the sad thing is many people and many churches pray to the Lord about their plans. Lord, would you bless our plans? We see an open area. We see an open field. And so we say, well, obviously, this is the way the Lord wants us to go. With no reflection of prayer, no fasting, no anything to really know the mind of the Lord. We can be busy about the Lord's work and be totally in left field when God wants us in the right field. And so we need to be asking the Lord about these things. Our God still communicates through his Holy Spirit to those who have a heart to know his plan and his way. In John chapter 5, verse 21, he says, the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Our Lord loves us, and he wants to instruct us. He'll quicken you not only as far as eternal life, but he'll also quicken your understanding to know his plan for your life, his plan for whatever church he's placed you in, and his plan for your family. Our responsibility is to be quick to seek his plan and then to be faithful to carry out his plan. So we don't want to make our own plans. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Our problem is, instead of seeking God's will, instead of asking God's will, we ask God to bless our plans and our will. That's not the way it works. Remember what Jesus prayed just before he went to the cross? He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Folks, we need to know God's will. We need to get in line with that and walk in it. The Holy Spirit is more than willing and more than able to reveal to his servant what his will is. We praise the Lord in heaven. His communications still come from heaven. The Holy Spirit is active in every believer in Christ. If we will seek his will, we'll find his will. In Acts chapter 13, again, this is the key of the message. I want you to catch this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Part of our problem is often we ask God's power to carry out our plans, not his plans. We haven't sought what God's plan is, but we know what our plan is. Folks, God's not going to bless our plans. Many a man and many of a church has plans of their own, but we don't have the power to bring about our plans. And God is not going to bless our plans if they're contrary to his plans. And so as children of God, we need to seek first what's his plan. Now, I want to tell you, this is not an easy thing to get communications from heaven if you don't seek him. But when you seek God with all your heart, God says he'll be found by you and he will communicate to you what his plans are. Often people desire to know the will of God and they're in perplexity. They pray earnestly that God should answer them at once. But most of the time, God does not answer at once. God reveals his will a step at a time for most of us. And what we want is the whole plan laid out. That's not normally the way God works. He told that church, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have planned for them." But they didn't know what the plan was yet. It's just that God said, "Separate them out." And so they separated them out. God had a will, and he was going to reveal it, but he's only going to reveal it at his pleasure. We have to be those that wait upon the Lord. "Lord, you revealed a portion of your will. I'm going to do what you told me to do, and I'm waiting for further directions." Unfortunately for many people, "Lord, you told me what to do. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go ahead and serve you." Be careful of running ahead of God. Sarah really thought she was doing God a favor when her and Abraham didn't have children. Sarah didn't wait. She said, "The plan is now for you to take my handmaiden, Hagar, have a child through her for me, and we'll answer God." That was not God's plan. In fact, the whole world has been under a curse because of that for over 3,000 years now. When we run ahead of God, we're going to head for trouble. We need to wait on the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, he says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Are you waiting on the Lord in prayer day by day, seeking his will? If you want to have a blessed life, a happy life, and a life that's worth living, we need to be waiting on the Lord. Proverbs 29:21, saying, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." Okay, maybe I copied the wrong verse. I don't know. But what I do know is this. If you want to know God's plan, you have to seek it. He doesn't reveal it to somebody that does not have a heart to know. God is looking for men and women, teenagers, and boys and girls who want to know God's plan, not only for their own life, but for the life of their family, for the life of their church, for the life of their communities and their nation. God will reveal his plan as we seek him. But there must be a seeking. I want you to look at the disposition to which the Holy Spirit listens, because those people at Antioch had a disposition of heart that we need to start to copy as a church, as individuals. Again, Acts 13, verse 1. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away." These men at that church were worshiping God and fasting and praying. And the Holy Spirit came and spoke to them. Many today see that meeting as if it were a missionary society, depending, there's an open field. We want missionaries, and so, Lord, would you bless us and send missionaries to that field? That's the way the church works often. But it isn't God's plan often to go to that field right now. We have to seek God's will. not what we see logically as the next place we're going, as the next thing we're doing, but Lord, what is your will? What would you have us to do? Look at the men. God had done wonders. He had extended the church from Jerusalem all the way to Antioch in Syria. And so it must come, God's will must come directly from heaven. We cannot figure it out. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, that way leads to death. It can be the death of a church if a church is going the wrong way. It can be the death of a relationship if we're seeking our will and not God's will. It must all come directly from heaven. If we're in fellowship with the risen Lord, we must have a close union with him so that he'll let us know what he wants. There has to be a waiting. As they were waiting and empty of their own will, that's when God came. That's when God spoke, and that's when he said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." It's exactly the same way that Peter, remember, he was up on a roof praying and fasting, seeking God's will. He got a direction that he would have never thought of had it been his own. He got a direction from God to go to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. The churches looked down on the Gentiles. The last thing Peter had in his mind was going to the Gentiles. But that was God's plan. And God wanted to use Peter. And he came to him in a vision, and he showed him that he should not call anyone unclean. The Jews thought all the Gentiles were unclean, and God would never go to them. But even the Old Testament said when the Messiah comes, he's going to take the message not just to Israel, but to the Gentiles. Fasting and prayer. It's a combination that works very, very well. It's worked all through the history of the church. Remember what Jesus did when he started his public ministry? The first thing he did, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He knew he was about to be tempted by the devil. Anybody remember how many years he fasted or how many days he fasted? 40 days. How would you be doing after 40 days of fasting? Not very well. It says after 40 days, he was a hungered. I want to tell you, I'd be hungry after 1 or 2 days. I just want to warn you, if you do get into this habit of fasting and prayer, please don't do as I've done in the past. After you fast for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days, don't come off your fast with a big chicken dinner. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy. You will get sick. Come off your fast slowly, a little at a time. The Lord doesn't want you to get sick. He wants you to fast and pray, but when you do, you have to use your head. When your body has not had food for 2 or 3 days, I'm not even talking 40 days. I've never fasted even close to that. But 2 or 3 days, and you come off, and you're just hungry as you can be, and you just pig down, you're going to be in trouble. Come off gently. But the fasting and the prayer are for those whose hearts are right with God. You can fast all day long, but if you don't want God's will, guess what? You're not going to get an answer. You can fast for 40 days, but if you don't want God's will, you're not going to get an answer. Fasting and prayer, the Lord told the Jewish people, you fast and pray, you look like you're in real trouble and real distress, but it's for men. When you fast, don't fast for men. In fact, don't even tell men or women that you're fasting. Do it as unto the Lord. Make yourself smile. Make yourself walk just as if you weren't fasting, because when God sees you fasting towards him and not for show, that's when he's going to start to answer. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People will say all day long, oh, if only I knew the will of God. I'd do anything to know the will of God. Well, will you put aside your own desires and your own will to know God's will? Will you choose to fast? Now, I'm not saying go 40 days. I don't think I could probably go 40 days and live. But I can go a day. I can go a meal. I can go a couple meals. I can go 2 days. I can go 3 days. But I don't think I'm in any shape to go 40 anymore. But the group of men, it's interesting when we follow the context here, the group of men in Acts chapter 13 had fasted and prayed, and when the Holy Spirit told them what he wanted, they had already fasted and prayed, and guess what they did? They fasted and prayed again. It says, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed on the Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. In other words, you've already been fasting and praying, and now God has revealed his plan. It may not be time to stop fasting yet. You may want to continue to fast and get the ministry off on the right foot. It talks about being separated unto me. It said he set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And that's the keynote of this whole message. We need to set ourselves apart for God, for God's glory, for God's will. And if we won't set ourselves apart, guess what? We may live our whole life and never know what God's will is for our lives. It's so important to take that first step. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There are works that you are meant by God to walk in. But if you don't separate yourself unto God and seek that plan from God, you may live your whole life and never know what God's plan was. But if you'll give yourself to God, if you'll seek him in prayer and fasting for his glory, he will reveal it to you. You'll know God's good and perfect plan for your life. If our church will dedicate ourselves to fasting and praying for God's glory, not so we can brag to each other that I fasted 3 days. Oh, I did five. Oh, no, I did 10. Folks, that's not important. What's important is you're fasting, setting yourself away from this world for God's glory. And as you seek him for his glory, not for attention of man, he promises to reveal his plan to you. He's got a plan. We need to know the plan. I want to tell you, many Christians go their whole life and never know what God's plan was. Why? Because you ask not, you won't get. You have to ask in faith. So what is needed is the power of God, that it should rest on us mightily, so that we might know the mind of God. The answer is from heaven. I want men and women, boys and girls, that are separated unto God to seek God. So here's what it implies. There are two spirits in this world. You're either being led by one or the other. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The world doesn't know about the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't seek the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it talks about another spirit. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, because there is a spirit of the world, and that's demonic, that's satanic. We have not received the spirit of the world, but that's the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to teach you and me what God's will is for our lives. This is what he wants in every worker in Christ. The spirit of the world is going to try to lead you in a direction away from the things of God. But the Spirit of God, if you'll submit to him, will lead you and teach you exactly what God made you for. God made you for a specific work, and he wants you to know it. There's a difference between the power of the Spirit as a gift. In other words, when we receive the Holy Spirit at our salvation, that's one thing. But it's another thing when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for daily living, for sanctification, and for ministry. It's a different work that goes on and on and on. So what we need is the Holy Ghost to have full dominion over our lives. And that can only happen when we're submissive to God and seeking his will with all our hearts. Is that the longing of your heart? Do you long to know what God made you for? Do you long to know what God would have you do with the rest of the days of your life? He's revealing it to many, but not to all. He reveals it only to those who are seeking him. As you seek him in fasting and prayer, he will set you apart for the special work that he's called you to do. If God discovers us that we're seeking him, the Bible says if a man or woman will draw near to God, what will God do? He'll draw near to them. He'll reveal himself to them. So our separation unto God calls for what? Perhaps fasting and prayer. I'm not saying you have to fast all the time, but I'm saying if you really are seeking God, there'll be a time you may say, I'm not even going to eat today. I need time for prayer and attention to God. Fasting and prayer, fasting is one of the important things in life. Eating, we all need to eat on a regular basis or we could get sick. Eating is one of our great connections with this life. And when we say, Lord, I want to seek you so much that I don't even want to eat, God takes special note of that. I want to tell you, it's extremely important. Again, in Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, that's when the Holy Spirit said his next plan for that church. I want you at church at Antioch to send out Barnabas and Saul on the ministry I've called them to do. Folks, we need to know God's will. After fasting and praying again, perhaps for days, we don't know how long they fasted, because how long is not the point. They fasted as long as God led them to fast. They were not looking for the attention of men. They were looking for the attention of God to their prayers. When we speak of the church, fasting and praying, it continues to this day. Remember when the Pharisees said, how come your disciples don't fast like we do? What was Jesus' answer? He said, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? But when the bridegroom is taken away, they will fast and pray. We're in that time now when Jesus is away from us in a certain sense. We need to learn how to fast and pray also so that we can know God's plan for our lives. In Galatians 3:3, Paul asks a question. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now he's talking about trying to keep the law to get right with God. My friends, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are right with God. We're not under the law anymore. But the same thing here, having begun in the spirit, are you so foolish now you're trying to do the will of God without even asking God what his will is? And many times in the church, we do exactly that. In our own lives, we do exactly that. Instead of seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting, we just ask the Lord to bless our plans. We set the agenda. That should never be. But sadly, that happens all too often. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When we first began our service for Christ, I remember when I was first saved, I didn't know how to do very much. So I was constantly in prayer. Lord, how do I witness to this person? How do I do it? But after a while, we get pretty skilled at doing these things, and we just take it for granted. Now I can handle it, Lord. No, we can't. We need the Holy Spirit empowering our ministry all the time, or it's going to come to what? It's going to come to nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. It's so important we understand that. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. When Jesus had ascended to heaven, it says, being assembled together, he's right there with them. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then they returned on Jerusalem from the mount called of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where they abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Folks, they continued in prayer, and I wouldn't be one bit surprised they continued in fasting as well. They all continued with one accord. They wanted to know, Lord, what's next? Folks, that's what we need to know. What's next? Jesus is upon his throne. His disciples are in his footstool in prayer and fasting until the Spirit of God moves them. I want to warn you about running ahead of God. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. We need to be those that wait upon the Lord in prayer and fasting to know God's next plan. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So let me ask you tonight, do you have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind? If not, do you even want it? Do you long to know God's will for your life? I don't think the Lord's ever going to use me in a great, great way. That's probably not God's plan for my life. But he is willing to use me in a lesser way. I'm not Franklin Graham. I'm not going to have thousands and thousands of people coming, but that doesn't matter because that's not God's plan for my life. What I want to know is, what does God want for me the rest of the days of my life? I can't encourage you enough, if you desire that, get used to the idea of fasting and praying to know God's will. Ask and you shall find. Seek and you'll find. Pray, fast, whatever it takes to know God's will.